As we get started this morning in this portion of the Word, I'll tell you, I do know what time it is. I already preached a message out of chapter 11, right? Amen. Thanks for not being too loud with that. But I do want to spend a few moments together in the first part of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, up through verse 22, and that means we won't give super detailed time, but I want us to spend a few minutes together in that portion of the scripture. And so I've had very few times when somebody has said to me, although it has happened, I want you to know it has happened, it stunned me when it happened, when someone said to me, you know, I don't really like to learn from other people's mistakes. I want to make all the mistakes myself. How many of you are in that boat? You want to make all the mistakes yourself? Well, how many find yourself that's been life habit? I think maybe more of us would be able to speak of it that way, but I've heard a couple of guys tell me that, and they've just been very bold about it, very clear about it, said, you know, I don't want to learn from somebody else's mistakes. I'd rather learn on my own. I'll make the mistakes myself. Yeah, you know, thankfully, neither of those guys that I've heard say that are missing a hand or a whole arm or what have you, but they have some other consequences in life that have been very difficult for them to manage along the way. And the reality is this, that according to what Paul is teaching the Corinthians and really coming to them with warning about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he is wanting them to give some clear attention to the fact that there are those who have gone before who have experienced in their own failures and weaknesses, the great judgments of God. And you should listen and you should learn from those things. And I think those are some truths that we all need to kind of embrace. We as a father, as a mother, as a parent or grandparent, we often look at our children or our grandchildren or even our neighbor kids, and we know where life has been hard for us, and where we have made some foolish decisions, and we, in some ways, we'd love to do whatever we could to keep our kids from jumping off the same cliff, right? I think we would love to do that in so many cases, and the Apostle Paul is trying to get to this in this particular part, these first couple of verses. He says, I'm just going to read these verses kind of as I preach that stuff. I may go back a little bit, but here in the first part of chapter 10, it says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them since they were struck down in the wilderness. Okay, so that's the first five verses. And as we think about those for just a minute, I want us to just connect with this for a moment, all right? And connect in the way that the Apostle Paul was trying to help the Corinthians church to connect to this. There were Jews among them. They were also Gentiles among them. And so we need to recognize that as this is all taking place, what happened in the lives of the people of Israel as they were enslaved in Egypt, as they were wandering in the wilderness, as all of those things took place, and even those things before, those things are things that we need to in some way identify with, at least connect with, to the place where we understand who we are and who we belong to. Now, I love this, that he connects them by saying that all All were, our ancestors were all under the cloud, you know, the cloud that led them by day and the pillar of fire that led them by night. They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea, the time of deliverance from Egypt when they passed through the Red Sea and the Lord parted the waters for them to do so. And then in the final result, after they had passed through, the Egyptian army was consumed in the water. And so this was all part of what took place. And they all ate the same spiritual food as they wandered in the wilderness and drank the same spiritual drink. They had the manna, which was given to provide for them by day. And of course, at times when they needed water, the Lord provided that. And then for this verse in verse 4, it says, "For they drank from the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So many people are struggling with the concept of the Trinity, and I'm hearing conflict about it again these days. I'm not saying that those of you in this room are struggling with this, though it may be true. But in our world and in world religions, people don't believe in the concept of the Trinity. It's very clear, and just very simply, we look at the first part of the Bible in the book of Genesis, where God has revealed himself and is revealing himself in creation, and even in the words that he gives Moses to write down, because there wasn't anybody there, all right? There wasn't anybody there, and none of this was written down until Moses came along. I'm sure they had a lot of it through oral tradition, just the telling of stories. But Moses wrote this down, and God spoke. And who would have known what was in the heart and the mind of God were it not that God had revealed it to them? And God revealed himself very specifically and uniquely and wonderfully to Moses in a number of different ways. But we saw first that he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, as God spoke to him through the burning bush. That doesn't mean God wasn't active. Remember, God was the one who caused Moses' parents to make a decision to protect Moses when all the other baby boys, Israelite baby boys were going to be killed. And Moses was kept and protected in the bulrushes in a basket. And then the Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him as her own son. God was a part of that. God designed, God directed, and God orchestrated all of that. But here we see that God had revealed himself to Moses in the writing of the early portions of the scripture when he said, and even in the verb tenses and the ways that he spoke, he said, "Let us." He didn't say, "I will make man in my image." He didn't say it that way. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And so when God created Adam and Eve and all that took place in the context of that, he was creating humanity in his image. Now, I don't think he was talking about a physical image. I'm pretty sure he knew what Christ would look like when Christ was born. I'm pretty sure he had a pretty clear idea of the fact that humanity was going to have the facility that you and I have, that, you know, we're going to look the way we look, we're going to have legs and arms and a head and all of that, but we were going to be very distinct and different from all of the rest of the animals of creation, everything else that God made. And so he said, "Let us make man in our own image." And so he made Adam and he made Eve, and he called them together and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Wow, that's a pretty cool thing. And so, as Moses wrote that down, even then, God was present as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know this. And of course, the Spirit, as it says in the very first chapter, it says the Spirit was hovering over the surface of the deep. We know that the Spirit of God was present and a part of the expression of God and his revelation to us about himself. And so we understand God as one God, and we know him as Father, as Son, And of course, as son, we can say we know him as son, redeemer, savior, one who sacrificed his own blood, all of those things, redeemer, friend, and then Holy Spirit. So God revealed himself in all of these ways. And so here in the desert, as the people were wandering, we see that Christ was present. It says Christ was present. And that was, of course, way back, long before Jesus was born as a baby in the town of Bethlehem. But he was present with God's people from the early days of Israel and led them along. And indeed, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased. And so then we go on. Now these things took place as examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. And so we are to learn from others. We are to learn from those who've gone before us. We are to learn from our own mistakes along the way. And I trust that we are able to do that as we walk together in the body of Christ. But we are to learn from others. They are examples for us. And it says specifically, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. And then he gives some specific don'ts. He said, don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. They sat down to eat and drink and they got up to party. And he says that in the context of do not be idolaters. Don't place things above or before God. Before me, he said. It is, let us not become idolaters where we love the things of this world and the way life makes us feel more than we love the God who created us and gave us the ability to feel. And then he goes on and in verse 8 he says, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people died. Now, I'm not going to read this whole passage, but in Numbers chapter 25, in verses 1 through 18, we find this story as Israel is caught up in worshiping Baal. And there's an Israelite man who came bringing a Midianite woman to his relatives in the sight of Moses and the whole Israelite community while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so this guy's name is, some people say it's Phinehas. My dad always said Phinehas, and so I like that pronunciation. So in verse 7 it says, when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw this, he got up from the assembly, he took a spear in his hand, followed the Israelite man into the tent, and drove it through both the Israelite man and the woman through her belly. And then the plague on the Israelites was stopped. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. So there was the loss of life of 24,000 people because of the immorality and the practice that was taking place in that time. I would encourage you could read all of Numbers 25. The earlier portion speaks more about their sexual immorality and these things that were taking place and the fact that it had to be put to a stop in order for God to once again turn and bring blessing and bring them to a place of victory once again. And so it says, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in a single day 23,000 people died. Verse 9, let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. Let us not test Christ as some did and they were destroyed by snakes. We should not be so foolish as to think that there can be these crazy and amazing things that are done just because the Apostle Paul was protected after the viper came out and bit him and latched on his arm and they began to worship him as a god. Even after that, it was not that we should begin to test Christ and test God with these things that that demonstrated miraculous signs and wonders, because that is not who we are to be. We are not to test Christ. We are to walk with Christ. We are to listen to Christ. We are to be dependent upon the Spirit of Christ and listen and let the Spirit of Christ do His work among us. But we should not be testing Christ as some of them did and were destroyed. And then he said, don't complain. Oh, wow. Does that speak to every one of us sometimes? He says, and don't complain as some of them did, and they were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come. And so we need to be serious about learning from the example of others. We need to be serious about learning from the example of others who have gone before us in Scripture, who have gone before us in both the stories of the Old Testament, but also the stories of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was referring to some of those in this context as well. And then we, as the body of Christ in the modern day and age, need to be learning from those days and learning from the days of the Old Testament, the days of the New Testament, and the days of the development of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to be learning from one another. You know, there are people around you here who have wisdom to share. And don't just look at them as thinking they have wisdom to share, but as you tell your story and as you are speaking about your struggle, and as you are growing and seeking to grow as a child of God in fellowship with Christ, then as you tell that story to someone else, they may have a story of their own that can shed light for you, that can reveal to you both either the judgment of God or the blessing of God as we have done this. You know, I shared in my newsletter article this week, about my own experience of growing up and learning and understanding the teaching of the Scripture about giving a tithe. And I came to a place, though, I started that article by saying, as a young man, that story, as a young man of 22 years old, wow, I've lived that two more times at least since then. And as a young man of 22 years old, I knew what the Scripture said. I had received good teaching, but I had not begun to practice. But when I began to practice and obey the teaching of God's Word in regard to His resources in my life and the giving of a tithe from those resources, I don't know that it always happens instantly, but I discovered that God had some things lined up that were going to make a difference in my life and that were going to change my financial picture for the better. And my friends, it wasn't that I got rich, but I found the blessing that God had already prepared for me as I began to be obedient to Him. That's just one example. We may find the blessings as we are obedient to Him in other parts of life, in other areas, even in these areas that He has addressed with the church already. And then He says, verse 12. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation, and this is one of my favorite memorized verses, and we're going to stop with this today. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Now, some translations say not just a way out. You know, it's like, okay, look for the door. No. He provides a way of escape. And it's not just a door, it's not just a path, it is a way of escape that brings glory and honor to Him. My friends, when we are tempted in life, we need to depend on God. When we are tempted to idolatry, when we are tempted to sexual immorality, when we are tempted to gluttony, when we are tempted to greed, whatever you may be tempted to, whatever it may be, there is a way of escape. There is a way out. And God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now, you might say, well, I found myself where I wasn't able many times. Well, you're a liar, because God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. You just haven't made the choice yet. You just haven't chosen to trust God and to follow Him and to walk with Him. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Friends, today, we need to learn from others. We need to learn from what we see in the world today. We need to learn even from our own mistakes, but we need to trust that there are some others who have lived a life in front of us that can help us to make better choices along the way. Living a life and walking with Jesus is about choices. It's about the choice of trusting Him for everything, trusting Him for eternal life, for forgiveness of sin. It's about the choice of trusting Him now, once you are walking with Him, for the daily provision of your life. It's about the process of trusting Him for those things and those relationships that can be healthy and productive and good for you in your life today. It's about those things, and God wants to provide, and God is so good. Today, the first choice that anyone needs to make in relationship to God is to follow Jesus, to believe in Him, to trust Him, and as we spoke before, receive Him as Lord and Savior, and let Him forgive your sin. Invite Him to then be your Savior and your Lord. I would encourage you, if you've never made that decision today, make that decision now. Trust Him. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I get it that my sins have brought separation between us. And I understand that the Bible kind of describes that as spiritual death. But Lord, You've loved me so much. I believe that You loved me so much that You died for me. And so today, I trust You and I believe that Your death and Your sacrifice was for me. So I receive forgiveness of my sin, Lord Jesus, and I make a commitment to repent and to live life now in a way that will please You, O God. That's the first decision. And others, brothers and sisters who know Jesus, you may know that He's speaking to you in some other way. Maybe there's a particular call upon your life that you need to respond to. Maybe there's another path of repentance that you need to take seriously and leave some things behind that have been a stumbling block in your walk with God and your example for others. Whatever it may be, God is able to bring you to a healthy place in your walk with Him, and He wants that to happen. It's as simple as just simply coming to Him, believing and trusting in His work. So as we come to this time of commitment, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Our team's going to come up, and I've asked Brother Bill to stand here at the front, and perhaps Brother John as well, to stand here to just share with you if you have something that you want to ask for prayer in regard to. Let God have His way in your life today. Don't go away from here and ignore what God might have said to you. The preacher gets up and he has a lot of things that he says, but the most important thing is that you respond to what God has been saying to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this. We thank You for this day and for Your presence and Your life that has been given to us that we might have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. And Lord, today as we come to a conclusion of a time together, Lord, we would ask that You might have Your way in every one of our lives. That we might not resist, that just be goofy and decide that we're going to do it on our own and discover for ourselves the great disruption of life that comes when we don't trust You. God, I pray that people will today make decisions that glorify You and that bring them to a joyful place of life in Christ. Lord, may You have Your work and do those things in us that we so desperately need. For Your glory and Your pleasure, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.